May the Lord help us to commence this service by singing hymn number 193. I am, says Christ, your glorious head. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. Hymn 193.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, we'll read from verse 1 to 34. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth. With them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, I even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set the upway marks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass, the like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down, and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. God Almighty, we plead now for thy mercy. O, in mercy, presence thyself graciously and mercifully with us. Oh, we plead, come down in the power of thy Spirit to make this assembly a sacred one to thy people, to make this place thy sanctuary. O Lord, may sinners here this afternoon have a Bethel made for them, the house of God, the very gate of heaven. Lord, thy servant Solomon said, behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, and much less this house that I have built. But Lord, thou dost say that thou dost have another dwelling place, as well as heaven. Thou dost dwell in the hearts of thy people. We've read of the promise this afternoon, a woman shall compass a man. O Lord, we pray that thou, Lord Jesus, will come and dwell in us. Lord, by faith, O dwell in us. Come in to us. Come into these hearts of ours. They're an unworthy dwelling, we confess. But Lord, so it must be. Lord, but, oh, what a worthy guest thou art. Oh, we plead thy worthiness, Lord Jesus. We plead thy name. He shall save his people from their sins. And how shall we be saved from our sins except thou dwell in us, to conquer the sin within? Oh, we pray, reign in us and over us. Erect thy throne within our heart and reign without a rival there. Make us willing to be clean. Make us willing, Lord, to be nothing. Lord, make us willing to be crucified with thee. Make us willing to part with all. Lord, make us willing, cause us to count all things but dung and dross, that we may win Christ and be found in him. So we plead, Lord, come, 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 we pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, oh, we plead, come down. By thy Spirit, he that seeth thee, Lord Jesus, seeth thy Father. Oh, we would see Jesus. Know thee as our elder brother. And in knowing that, know the Father as our Father. Lord, have mercy. Print thy own resemblance on us, Lord. As the image in the glass answers the beholder's face, thus unto my heart appear. Print thy own resemblance there. Lord, we pray thy blessing on thy people to the glory of thy great name. Oh, may even here this afternoon thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Lord, thou knowest those that are thine. Those that know it not but long to know it, Lord, tell them. Thou hast said, I will say it is my people, and they shall say the Lord is my God. We pray for assurance, Lord. Forgive our doubts. Save us from them and our unbelief. O Lord, we thank thee for the truth. The faith is the gift of God. O Lord, were it not so, none would be believers. Not in a saving way. O Lord, we pray this afternoon, do Grant the Spirit to inspire faith in doubting, fearing ones, trembling ones. Grant the Spirit's witness in far off ones to draw nigh, and grant that Spirit's witness in guilty hearts, the Spirit's witness of forgiveness, pardon, redemption through blood, the blood of thine own dear Son. Oh, we pray, Lord, grant words in season to thy people. One is dependent upon thee, as all are. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we pray then, do put those words in one's mouth. Grant the opening of a door of utterance. Grant liberty in speaking and liberty in hearing. The glory may be thine. For, Lord, we are nothing. Lord, oh, thy dear servant, the Apostle Paul, such an eminently blessed man, so favoured, and yet it was that great blessing thou didst grant him, the blessing of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with his Spirit, so that he said, though I be nothing. Lord, we pray, oh, do so. Be the master of this assembly. The speaker may be nothing and the hearer may be nothing and Christ may be everything. Lord, help us. We mourn this self that will rise up, that will intrude, this base nature of ours. Lord, we plead the forgiveness of our sins. And pray that in this service sin may not have dominion over us. We may not be left to the carnal nature. We may not be left to carnal reasoning, carnal words. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But oh, may we be in the Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. Help this people. We pray for them, thy rich blessing. Lord, that thou wouldst come down as showers upon this garden and shine and blow as thou seest the need. Awake, O north wind, with the conviction of sin, and come, thou south wind, with the blessed breath of the everlasting gospel. Cause the spices to flow forth. Come, thou beloved, and into thy garden and eat thy pleasant fruits. Oh, may this be a fruitful garden. Lord, we pray for each family. Oh, be the God in each home. Be the God of each one according to thy holy will as they go forth. We thank thee for thy mercies in preserving and providing and keeping to this moment. Go on to be gracious, we pray. Grant, Lord, those eternal blessings, that mercy that endureth forever, that mercy in Jesus. Grant it to the young. Grant it to the parents and others in the midst of life, and all grant it to the aged, we pray. Oh, we plead for that preparation for our end. We pray for thy presence and thy grace in life that shall prepare us for death, but then, oh, how we shall need thy presence and grace in that moment. Oh, may it be given. Pardon now all we've asked wrongly. Make up where we fail in asking. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
hymn number 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then, my soul, put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast, yet I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to the chapter that we read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This then is a wonderful promise of the Lord's new covenant. It is called the new covenant because it is the second. He speaks of the first, that covenant which he made with the house of Israel when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. What does he say of that covenant? Which covenant they break, although I was a father to them. They were his people, but they broke his covenant. The new covenant cannot be broken, because God cannot break his own word. God cannot fail to fulfill what he promises to do. The old covenant required the obedience of men. Men were unable to keep it. But it isn't only the children of Israel that know these two covenants. The truth that God made that covenant with Israel when they came out of Egypt, the covenant of works, they break it. And then he made that covenant of grace, signifies what he does in every one of his people's experience. The Apostle Paul speaks of being alive under the old covenant. When he was Saul of Tarsus before the Lord met him, on the road to Damascus, he was alive, or so he thought. When the Lord met him, very graciously, very mercifully, but with almighty power, regeneration, a new birth, a new covenant was manifest. But what did the Lord then do? He caused the commandment, the law, his law, to come into his heart, that new heart that the Lord had given him. A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. The commandment came, he said, sin revived. And I died. Dead. Why? Because the Lord began to make himself known to him. We have in this promise here the promise that the Lord will make himself known to his people. They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. And because they shall all know me, there shall not be that need for that which the Lord speaks of here when he says, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Notice the divine certainty here. The divine certainty. That is because the whole of it is according to the unchangeable purpose of God. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? They shall all know me. The thought that came into my heart and led me to this text was a meditation upon the rejoicing of God and of his people when he sees the travail of the soul of his son. The hymn writer said, with pleasure we behold Emmanuel's offspring come, as sheep are left no more to roam. The favour of a father or a mother, the favour granted to a pastor, a minister, or another person who has travailed for the souls, travailed in prayer, of course, not travailed as Christ travailed, but travailed in prayer for them. And what is that travail? Is it not that those people who yet know not the Lord may come to know him? Why is that what a truly exercised mother, a father, pastor, deacon, friend, why is it that that is what that person prays for that one more than anything else? Because it is only in knowing God that there can be eternal life. It is only in knowing God that there can be real happiness. It is only in knowing God that a sinner can know themselves and know the forgiveness of their sins. Oh, how awful for a person to enter eternity ignorant of God. What I mean is ignorant of the saving knowledge of God. Ignorant of him in the as he reveals himself in the person of his dear son. If you die, my dear friend, ignorant of God in the way I'm speaking, you're the eternity, which is a never-ending state. We cannot comprehend it. It is so great. But it is true. There is no end of eternity. So there will be no end of misery. There will be no end of awful grief and sorrow. There will be no end of suffering. There will be no end of torment. In that place where is complete banishment from God. Here on this earth, all men know something of the goodness of God. In hell, men know nothing of the goodness of God. God causes the rain to fall upon the righteous and the wicked here on this earth, but he doesn't cause the rain to fall on the wicked in hell. Not a drop of water can be found in that place. Not a drop of water can be taken to that place. And what is the distinguishing point between those that go to that place, hell, and those that go to heaven? The distinguishing point is the knowledge of the Lord. Remember what the Lord Jesus said he would say. And all of us here in this congregation this afternoon, together with the rest of the human race, will be there before him as he sits upon that great white throne and he declares to you and to me either, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, or depart, ye cursed, into everlasting burning prepared for the devil and his angels." But he went on to say what he would say to those who come to him in that day, saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many mighty works? Cast out devils. I never knew you. I never knew you." They called him Lord, but never knew him as their Lord. You see, if the Lord say to a person, "I never knew you," they can't know him. They can't know him. But those whom the Lord knows. The psalmist said, "Thou'st known my soul in adversity." The Lord knowing a person's soul in their adversity, what are they brought to in that adversity? Through him knowing their soul in their adversity, they are brought to know him in their adversity. That friend that loveth at all times, that brother born for adversity. "For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them." Who are these all? All the Israel of God. All the election of his grace. All those whom the Lord spoke of. He spoke individually, personally to Jeremiah, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That is true of all these people the Lord is speaking of here. Those whom God loves because he would love. Not because there is anything lovable about them with regard to themselves, but because he would love them. Now, another truth concerning these people. The Father gave them unto his Son. "Thine they were," he says, "and thou gavest them me. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. None of them is lost. But the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. They shall all know me." Love moves Almighty God to make himself known to these people. What a tremendous truth is before us here, that the infinite God stoops to make himself known to sinners. He who is incomprehensible. You children, we cannot explain to you God in words of human wisdom. The Bible, the holy word of God, is the revelation of himself. But is the Bible on its own enough for a sinner to come to know the Lord? No. Why not? Why is it not enough? It is the complete revelation of God. It is not enough because of your and my weakness. It is not enough because of your and my finiteness. It is not enough because of your and mine sin and unbelief. So when the Lord says, they shall all know me, he's speaking of a gracious condescension on his part to make himself known to people who could not of themselves possibly discover him. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's what I mean, you children, when I say we cannot with natural wisdom describe God to you, explain God to you. This is in accordance with Scripture. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. If the Lord will and as he enable me, I hope to speak a little further on that line. But firstly, remember what the Lord Jesus said, John 17. When he was praying unto his Father, just before he entered Gethsemane, he said to his Father, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, I am sure the order of the Lord's words is significant. And when the Lord says, they shall all know me, he speaks of himself, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the order of that verse in John 17 sets forth the order of his teaching, the order of the knowledge of Almighty God. You see, as one man put it so correctly, so scripturally, a man cannot know himself until he knows God. A man cannot know himself until he knows God. Oh, how Isaiah knew himself after he knew God. When the Lord revealed himself to him, in his holiness, holy, 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 is the Lord God of hosts. Then what does Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I'm undone. For I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We must have some revelation to us of the holiness and the majesty of God to know our unholiness. You know how it is. And Paul and the apostle, he says, it's unwise. Comparing ourselves among ourselves. That was what the Pharisee in the parable did. I thank God I'm not as other men are. The publican in the parable knew God. He couldn't therefore say, I thank God I'm not as other men are. He had the same teaching that Isaiah had, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord. They shall all know me. And the Lord brings a person forward to give a testimony of what they hope and believe the Lord has done for their soul. The discerning member, the one who knows the Lord themselves in some measure, is listening for this. For if this is missing, it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those that never felt their woe? No comfort. They don't need comfort. They shall all know me. Oh, when the Lord comes and without, in most cases, such a manifest outward appearance as it was with Saul of Tarsus, but with the same power in the measure that is necessary in every one of these people's cases. And that sinner finds themselves before God. The God they cannot explain. The God they cannot see. But the God before whom they tremble. That is one of the first evidences of knowing the Lord, trembling before God. What does the Lord say in one of his promises? He says, to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. They shall know me. They shall know that I see everything they do. They shall know that I see everything they think. They shall know that I'm watching, my eye upon them. They shall know that I am an holy, holy, holy Lord God. They shall know me in my law. When the Lord brings it with that power that I spoke of earlier in referring to the Apostle Paul's call. What a knowing of the Lord. Oh, the solemnity of this. The sinner now has had a transforming work begun in them. They now go about with a knowledge that they never had before. They have an awe of the majesty of heaven that they never had before. Oh, there is in the knowledge of God an opening of the eyes to see the vanity of everything but God. The sinner that knows God knows that God created this earth, but knows that God will destroy this earth. The moon and stars shall lose their light. The sun shall sink in endless night. The works of nature all decay. Everything here below shall pass away. They shall know that one day they must stand before him and give account unto him of all the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. They shall all know me. Now, when things come upon them, the Lord, in making himself known to them, makes known that this hasn't come by chance. This is his hand. He has done it. He causes it to come. When men have spied against me, join. The sword is theirs, the hand is thine. Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? They shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest. For the season that the Lord appoints, they shall walk with regard to the saving experience of him, ignorant of God in Christ. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. Why does the Lord hide himself? The hymn writer says, I know it is concerning his purposes, but what I'm speaking of are his purposes. He hides the purpose of his grace to make it better known. For in hiding from the sinner his Son, the Saviour, for the appointed time, what is God accomplishing? He is accomplishing his teaching by which that sinner is brought to know their need of the Saviour. John Berridge, in one of his hymns, says, nor will the afflicted to Jesus apply till quacks give them up and they think they must die, till carnal hopes are ended and pockets are emptied. They will not come. And the Lord is doing this. They know him. Oh, they shall know him as a God, the God that cannot receive anything of their own production. John 14, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. You see, in this teaching period where the Lord is making himself known to them, oh, how he is teaching them, oh, that through their sin, through their corruption, through their wickedness, by their wickedness there is such an barrier. He cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. For the promise, they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest, is attached to this wonderful promise. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, this great matter of the pardon of sin, of iniquity. It is the matter that the Lord attaches here to this promise of knowing him. And that is because this matter of forgiveness is the greatest blessing anyone can know. a sinner could not be said to satisfactorily know the Lord till they know this blessing of the forgiveness of all their sin and of all their iniquity. That's not to say that there are not some of the Lord's people who know the Lord, but as yet, he doesn't come to this blessed degree of knowledge. Just for a moment, my mind goes back to the previous part of this chapter, where the Lord is describing the people whom he knows and who he brings to know him. What do those people that are brought to know him, what do they say? The Lord says, I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me. They shall all know me as a chastising God. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ephraim is his son, he must chasten him. Because until Ephraim is chastened, he doesn't want to be received by the Lord. Until Ephraim is chastened, he's satisfied without being received by the Lord. He's satisfied. How many of you here in this congregation this afternoon are satisfied without the knowledge of pardon? How many of you? The Lord knows. I'll tell you how many of you. As many as the Lord has not chastened for their sins. You cannot bring yourself to be dissatisfied with being a guilty sinner. You cannot bring yourself to be dissatisfied without the blessed knowledge of pardon. God says he'll do it. They shall all know me. He is, my dear friends, not a God who takes people over when others are finished with them. He is their God from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ said, I am Alpha, the beginning, and Omega, the end. Thou chastised me and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, fretting, kicking, struggling against the Lord's dealings. They shall know me. They shall know me as the Lord whose yoke may be fretted against, but it will not be broken. Whose will may be kicked against, but the Lord won't change his will. Whose way may be turned from, but God will bring the sinner back to his way. They shall know me. They shall know me. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord, my God. You will put in them this prayer for turning, knowing they can't turn themselves. And the Lord hears that prayer. They shall all know me as the prayer indicting Lord. He teaches his people what to pray. And I tell you, What I believe is one of the principal ways the Lord takes in teaching his people what to pray. He so deals with them in such a way as they are made to feel what they need. They shall know me, the God who makes his people feel their need. The Lord who teaches them that they cannot turn themselves. If Ephraim had been left by the Lord to think that he could turn himself from his sin, he wouldn't have prayed to the Lord to turn him. They shall know me, the prayer indicting God. They shall know me, the prayer hearing God. You know those people that come to the Lord in the day of judgment and he says, I never knew you. He never answered one prayer because they never prayed to him from their very heart. William Tiptaft used to say, don't despise a man that gets answers to prayer. They shall all know me as the prayer-hearing, answering God. After that I was turned, I repented. They shall know me as the one that works repentance. What a knowledge of God that is. He has to confess, after that I was turned, I repented. The Lord had to bring me to repentance, but in mercy he did. They shall know me. Oh, the God who saves unrepentant sinners. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a people that inquired not after me. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? The meaning here is not a question, it's a statement. Ephraim is my dear son. He is a pleasant child as I view him in Christ. Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. They shall all know me. Now that blessed knowledge is given. The knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Son. Paul said, didn't he? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How does the Lord bring his people to this knowledge? I want to speak experimentally, because that's the important thing. The blessed doctrine revealed by the Holy Spirit, but how is it in a sinner's experience? The feeling need. I remember in my own experience, I came to that point under conviction of sin, especially the sin of unbelief. And fell on my knees by my bedside that day and cried unto the Lord, Lord, if there is a way whereby such a wretch as I can be saved, oh, do show it me. You see the felt ignorance. But that prayer unto him, for him to make himself known. Blessed be his dear name, he answered my cry, revealing his Son to my soul. declaring unto me the truth that he required nothing of me, for he had required and received everything of his dear Son. Now that wasn't a truth that I'd never heard before, but that was a truth that I'd never believed before. This knowledge of the Lord is by the gift of faith. By the gift of faith. And he gives the faith to believe that God is able to make himself known to me. And the prayer is that he will do so. And that will be their prayer till they know him as he is. Paul writes into the Philippians, oh, how he in some measure knew the Lord. But he knew it was in such a small part. His prayer then is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. For I will forgive their iniquity. Now the Lord cannot do this. He cannot forgive their iniquity without making known to them his Son. They shall know me. God's co-equal and co-eternal Son, who in the fullness of time was made man without sin, took our nature and raised it to a level that it had never been at before. Perfect, incorruptible, impossible that he could sin. He did no sin, could do no sin. His Father laid on him the iniquity of his people. They shall know me in the person of my Son, bearing their iniquity in his own body on the tree. For I will forgive their iniquity. It speaks of the utter sinfulness of this people. That's what iniquity sets forth. The utter sinfulness. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And the Lord here in saying, I will forgive their iniquity, he speaks of blotting out the very sinfulness of their nature. Blotting out that evil that is theirs. All that fountain which was open when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And it is opened unto the people when the Spirit reveals Jesus to them. It's not a surface cleansing. It is a heart cleansing. It gets right to the bottom of this deep, unfathomable to man, this deep matter, the iniquity of man. David prayed for it, didn't he? In Psalm 51. There is a man who is even describing in that psalm this knowledge of the Lord. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. But then as he prays, Lord, thou desirest truth in the inward part. And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and purge me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, that plant used for the application of the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of the Israelite houses. What he is asking for is, Lord, apply that blood thy Son has shed to my sin-stained heart and conscience. This is the knowledge of the Lord. They shall all know me, the Holy Ghost, revealing Christ to each of these people, making him to them a living, bright reality. We're not speaking of a vision seen with the bodily eyes. We're not speaking of something which is additional to the Word of God. What we are speaking of is a revelation of him of whom the Word of God speaks. When, by the Holy Spirit's gracious operation, these people really believe on the Lord. True and living faith is a completely supernatural thing. I said yesterday in speaking, saving Holy Ghost religion is a mystery from beginning to end. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And the Lord promises here that he will do that for each of these people. So those of you here this afternoon who don't know you're among these people, what shall I set forth scripturally as the least token that you are among these people? If the Lord causes you, upon the hearing of a word like this, with the little grain of faith given you, to lay hold of the word and plead it. Lord, thou saidst, every one of thy people would know thee. Lord, I plead thy promise, make thyself known to me. For I will forgive their iniquity. You see, there is a divine order in this matter. I've spoken of the conviction. And now I go to John's epistle for another step in this blessed order. God brings us to confess our sin to him. And John writes, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Confession. What is it brings a sinner to confession? The knowledge of the Lord. The psalmist says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And one of the works of the fear the Lord does is bring us to confess our sin. Oh, the blessing. They shall all know me. Again, going back to the earlier part of this chapter, the Lord says, they shall come with weeping. And with supplications will I lead them. I will forgive their iniquity. They come as David came in Psalm 51, confessing it and pleading for the forgiveness of it. How are they forgiven? They should know me. They should know me. When the Lord speaks forgiveness, when the Lord conveys it, if he doesn't say actually the words, thy sins are forgiven, when he, by whatever way he pleases, in the revealing of his Son, shows that he has forgiven your sins, you will know the Lord then in a blessedly fuller measure than you've known him till then. the God that you know as your judge, makes himself known as your Saviour. The God whose law condemns you in the person of his dear Son, who said, I am come not to destroy the law, but to fulfil it, rescues you, ransoms you, redeems you. Oh, forgive their iniquity. Oh, the blessedness when God smiles in the face of his dear Son. When God smiles as the gospel is preached into the sinner's heart with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. As God smiles, as the veil of unbelief is taken away and the sinner believes on the Lord. A view by faith of that scene of matchless grace. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When the Lord forgives a person, it is a frank and a full forgiveness. On account of what his Son suffered for those sins. It is impossible for God to declare a person's sins are forgiven and then hold those sins against them in days to come. Because the ground upon which he forgives them is that when Christ died for those sins, full atonement was made. They were removed. The sufferings of the God-man, the sufferings of Emmanuel, the blood he shed, made those scarlet-dyed sins as white as snow, those crimson-dyed sins as wool, invisible, completely removed. Oh, sinner, this afternoon, the past offences pain your eyes. Perhaps there is one or more here this afternoon that the Lord has brought to your remembrance sins that you'd long forgotten. But he hadn't forgotten them. And he's merciful in reminding you of them, in to use that to bring you to his feet, pleading, Lord, those terrible sins. Those terrible sins, those innumerable sins, Lord, those sins beyond recounting, those sins against a holy God, against thy name, thy cause, thy love. Hide me, O Gethsemane, and their sins will I remember no more. The wonder of the Lord making us to know that the great matter which was impossible for us to deal with. And the more we tried to deal with it, the greater we made it, the more we strove against sin's power. We sinned and stumbled, but the more. He in his mercy, he in his love, they should know me as a merciful and faithful God. They should know me as he with whom nothing is impossible. They should know me as that supremely kind, gracious, long-suffering, pitiful, holy Lord God. I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their iniquity. This is God-like glory. Oh, those of you that feel your iniquity now, as I speak of this, forgiving your iniquity, except you be given that blessed faith. Oh, how incomprehensible this truth is. And it is in having the incomprehensible revealed to you that you know the Lord. This blessing I cannot find words to describe to you fully. What are the blessings that flow from this blessing? Peace with God. The iniquity and the sin is the cause of all the anguish, the cause of all the distance, the cause of all the warfare, the cause of that laboring, heavy laden spirit you sung of in the hymn. This forgiveness brings the rest that you sung of in that hymn. A rest remaineth to the people of God. Eternal life. I looked for hell, said the hymn writer. He gave me heaven. If sin be pardoned, I'm secure. Death hath no hold beside. I'll forgive their iniquity. Oh, the love that will flow into the heart as the Lord does this, they shall all know me. God commendeth his love toward us, said the apostle, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it was that death of the blessed Saviour that was the complete manifestation of the love of God to his church. And as this forgiveness flows from that death, with this forgiveness flows that love. Guilty sinner here this afternoon, the only hope of you obtaining pardon is because God is love. Do you say, oh, why would God forgive my sins? Because he loved you, child of God, and because in love he smote his son in your place. That's the answer to that question to a sinner inquiring here, but why would God forgive me? I tell you, he won't forgive you because of anything you do. He cannot. He'll forgive you because of what his son has done. And his son did what he did, not because his people deserved it. His son did what he did because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. That's my last thought then. In this church of the Lord's, there are the least and there are the greatest. But each of them know the Lord, or they shall be brought to know him. And each of them shall have their iniquity forgiven and their sins not remembered. But some will have larger discoveries to their soul of the Lord than others. That's the measure of the least and the greatest in the kingdom of God here below. And the word of God speaks of there being that same distinguishing even in heaven above. But oh, you see, the Lord says there will be this common thing from the least of them to the greatest. And here is the unity. Here is one that is so greatly blessed. And here is a poor, fearful Mr. Fearing as he set forth in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. But there's no disunity between the two. And when grace is given, there's no looking down on the one by the other either. Why not? What is it that stops everything of such a carnal, sinful character? It's that knowledge of the Lord. That's what stops it. If that greatest one loses his sight of the Lord and loses his sight of how it is he is so greatly blessed, he might look down on that one. But the Lord will teach him. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Tea will be served on the right-hand side of the chapel shortly after the close of the service. Let us close with hymn number 10. "'Twas with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced before he made the worlds above or earth on her huge columns placed." Hymn number 10.
thank thee for thy word. Do bless it to us, causing it to remain and bear fruit in our hearts and lives. Forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.